We are talking about connecting with family on this Memorial Day. This is a special previously recorded edition of the Daily Drum. We're not taking calls tonight. My guests are Adrian Fikes, author and soul power coach, and Dr. Johnny Parker, author and relationship coach. If you are thinking about reconnecting with family members or having an opportunity to try to heal some of the old issues related to family members that you haven't had an opportunity to speak with in quite some time, certainly this is a conversation that you want to pay attention to. My guests are Adrian Fikes, author and soul power coach, and Dr. Johnny Parker, author and relationship coach. And again, we're not taking any phone calls tonight, but certainly there is information here that you will get that will really help you seal some of those badly needed bonds in your family. Adrian, what is a soul power coach?
I call myself the soul power coach because I believe that we all have inner wisdom. There is something within us that is connected to a divine source. And when we pay attention to what that information is saying to us, we never make the wrong decision. And so soul power is about connecting to that divine intuition and teaching you to pay attention. So it is a decision-making framework. So you are making better decisions, more purposeful decisions, and showing up for yourself in a powerful, purposeful way.
Sounds like you're talking about listening to your gut.
Well, some people call it their gut. Some people call it their inner guidance, their intuition. Some people call it the God in them. It really is something within us that knows. You know, I am not the expert on you. You are the expert on you. So if I teach you to pay attention, to unlearn what you have been taught, you know, we have all these external things that are happening around us that are telling us what to think and how to feel and what we can do and what we can have and what we deserve. But the truth is within us. And when we tune into that truth in us, we can make decisions about what we want and what we feel and what we think and what we're going to do. And so I encourage people to tap back into that soul power because it's never wrong.
You know, Johnny, you mentioned earlier that you have been married for 29 years. And if you don't mind, you know, your wife is from Jamaica.
That's right. She's my Jamaican sensation.
There you go. I'm sure that is absolutely accurate.
I'm from Jamaica, New York. She's from Jamaica, West Indies.
Oh, well,
there you go. There it is.
Divine connection.
Exactly.
That was divine connection.
Divine.
That was definitely divine connection. I prefer the beach myself. But, you know, you found a wife and you connected to her, which means that you connected to her family.
Sure.
For people who get married and expand or double the size of their family, how do you stay connected to your folks and connect to your spouse's folks in a way that does not neglect the connection that you're trying to build?
Absolutely. So every family is telling a story all the time. In my book, Turn the Page, Unlocking the Story Within You, I talk about this idea that first as an individual and then it moves to the family, but it starts with the individual. Know your story. Know the story that you want to tell with your life. And you got to decide that. No one gets the right, R-I-G-H-T, to write, W-R-I-T-E, your story. So it starts with you as an individual, but then it moves to you, in my case, as a married couple. What's our story? The Johnny and Loveland story, different from Doreen and Kent, which was her parents, different from Johnny Sr. and Gwen Parker, my parents, who divorced in a magnificent story, ending to their story, divorced for 36 years, and I remarried them 12 years ago.
Oh, my. Wow.
Yeah, you talk about a story to start off with drama, but it's ending with romance and love and adventure. So it starts there from our own individual story. What's the story? When we got married, we had to decide, what's the story that we want to write? And it's a wonderful, better than hitting the lottery when both people, in our case, we both have great relationships with both set of parents. My wife talks to my parents probably more than I do. And she gets on me about not calling her parents enough, who I love. I love my in-laws. And so I literally have in my phone, call mom and dad. They're not even Mr. and Mrs. Miller to me. It's their mom and dad. That's all I know. They're my in-loves. They're not my in-laws. And so it has to start with first in our marriage. We decided that we wanted to have this story with our parents and build this story and to have that with each other's parents. When my parents come to town, my wife and my mother are like girlfriends. I mean, they hang out. They do some really, really cool stuff. And I can go take my in-laws to dinner, which I haven't done recently. My wife listening, she's going to hold me accountable to this. Mm-hmm. But I can go and have dinner with them, and she doesn't have to be around. I mean, there are people that I would have relationships with even if I wasn't married to their daughter. So it all goes back to this idea, as I say in the book, Turn the Page, you have to be intentional. Great families don't happen automatically. They happen intentionally. We have to be intentional about the stories that get told at family reunions. You want to see teenagers and millennials put their phone down? Start having grandma and grandpa tell a story about how they met. My grandma, we have it all the time. We have a meal together once a month. And my mother-in-law starts talking about in Jamaica, and she goes into that Jamaican accent. Yeah, Kent, I had four onlookers, four men that were looking at me and liked me before you came along. Oh, yeah, she tells that story. And then I go, Dad, I said, Dad, what did you have going on? And Dad would tell his story about what he had, and Mom didn't know. And so getting them to tell that story, the grandsons, my three sons, my two nephews, because I'm Uncle Phil. You see Fresh Prince? Mm-hmm. So I helped raise my nephew. So I got nephew Will that lives with
just
me.
Just half the size.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. There you go. But I'm telling you, they come off the cell phones and they get tuned in laser focus when grandma and grandpa or someone starts telling a story about how grandma and grandpa met, or the stories of growing up in New York and our dog Duke, and we played, you know, Buck, a game we play on the streets in New York, and
Choo-choo playing Buck.
Choo-choo, the locomotive, baby. Here comes Choo-choo. See, now it's going to be all over the Capitol, man. Everyone in DMV, I'm going to get up here, and everybody's going to see me, man.
Dr. Choo-choo.
So now you got to take a day, Adrian. So, but that's the beauty of it. But, yeah, because you see these phones, and I'm telling you, you want to get the kids off their phone, get grandma or uncle or somebody telling a story about growing up or how they met, and they are, it tunes it, because we're wired for that. Kids don't go to bed at night and say, ooh, tell me a fact. They say, ooh, tell me a story.
Which brings me to, you know, Adrian's story, because often in this day and age, we have families that don't know grandparents, but you found great, great grandparents.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
The great, great grandparents. Talk to me about that.
Wow. Okay, so in the span, I mentioned in the span of 2 years, I've lost three aunts. They were sisters. My grandmother had two sets of twins within 15 months of each other. Two identical girls and a fraternal boy and a girl. So as we lost the two girls, the final identical twin passed away. It had led us on this journey. I have a family reunion that includes my great grandfather, his four brothers, and their descendants. But there was never anything in the booklet about who their parents were. And I was always asking that question. No one knew. So I started poking around because, you know, my grandfather died when my father was young. You know, my father's been gone for 20 years. And all we knew was they were from the country. And, you know, growing up in, you know, the D.C. area, living in Atlanta, the country to me, no offense, family, the country to me was going back down to Chapel Hill. I'm like, does it get countrier than this?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, right.
You know,
does it become more bucolic, right, more rural than this?
And, yeah. And so when they talk about, you know, grandpa being buried in the country, it's the country. And, you know, when I tell a story, when my aunt died, we had to go. My aunt died Election Day.
Which election?
2016. So it was a very interesting day for me. Mm. And the day after that election, there were some. There was a tweet that went out that said that there was a Klan. There were Klan people out on the bridge and they were waving signs. That tweet was since debunked, but I saw that information and I knew that I had to go down to my aunt's funeral underneath that bridge. And I'm thinking, you know, what kind of problems are we going to have? So in doing my research, it led me down this entire internet hole where, you know, I had asked my father's cousin about what is this country place? Where is it from? And there was an article about debunking this tweet that mentioned the town, the borough where my grandfather, great-grandfather was from. And so in exploring this information, I found out about the town. You know, I got on and started doing internet searches. You know, they've got .org has been very helpful. You know, find a grave. You know, there are people that are going out documenting the graves in cemeteries across the country and putting this information online. So I started finding, you know, I found my, you know, I knew George was my great-grandfather and Lizzie was his wife, and Lizzie had died in 1953. Well, I found her grave on the site and I was like, well, where is this? And so we came down for the funeral, but then we came back down just after Thanksgiving and I led a caravan, I think about 3 or 4 cars full of cousins down into the country. And, you know, I stayed with my cousin and we got up the next morning and, you know, she had called a distant cousin that still lived there. And it's the only reason we knew where to find the cemetery is because Cousin Crown had told us where to find it. And so we found the cemetery and my grandfather, my great-grandfather, and my great-great-grandfather were buried there, as well as my great-grandmother. And standing there looking at these graves, you know, looking at the fact that my great-great-grandfather died in 1900, you have to ask these questions. Who was this person? What was his life like? Where is his wife? Where are his children? You're like, what happened? And so in the last 2 years, I've kind of become something of a junior genealogist. And I've ended up poking around into my family trees. So, you know, you think about, you have two parents, mom and dad. So you've got 4 grandparents. So you've got 8 great-grandparents, which means you have 16 great-great-grandparents.
What does this information do for you? And I don't mean as the amateur genealogist and sleuth, but as a member of the family and connecting not only to those living, but those that are no longer living.
It's hard to describe what it does. For those that are living, you know, it's interesting. We're all, you know, my curiosity is everyone else's curiosity. And so I have cousins, you know, helping me out and, you know, they're, God bless him, Crown passed away last week. So 2 of my cousins went to the funeral and they were laughing that one of them took a notebook and was running around going, what did you know about my grandma, you know, my grandma Lizzie, and what's your name and what's your, and she was gathering information. And I was so happy because I wasn't able to be there. But now I've got other family members that are also asking questions and are digging through boxes and are finding pictures and are telling stories. It's touching us in a way that is, it's spiritually healing us in a way. It's spiritually exciting us and it's bringing us together in a way that I wasn't really expecting. You know, you really don't know. But a couple of weeks ago, you know, going through census records and, you know, talking to genealogists and all of that, I've found one of my great-great-grandfathers, I found the census record from 1860 where he was listed on the slave schedule as a hash mark. And I was able to look at the estate records, the will of the gentleman that owned him that died in 1841 and when he gave him to his oldest daughter. And so we've been able to figure out where he was and who owned him. Like, and
does that make you feel grounded even more so in your family?
Yeah. Well, yes. You, we As African people of African descent, we often talk about our ancestors. We talk about calling on our ancestors. We talk about going back to Africa and connecting, but we never really focused on those that were here and what they're like. It's one thing to talk about the three-fifths rule, the three-fifths compromise. It's a whole other thing when you can begin to call the names of the people from your tree mm-hmm. who were considered three-fifths of a person and begin to know even just a little bit about what their life was like, because their life and what they had and what they went through impacted, you know, what my great-grandparents went through impacted what my great-grandparents had. And it just flows through. And so I've been able to answer questions about who I am and why I am and, you know, why do we have these personalities we have? Because I'm digging through and reaching out to people who are here, but also finding out about those that have already passed.
This is a special previously recorded edition of the Daily Drum. We're not taking calls tonight, but we're talking about connecting with family on this Memorial Day. My guests are Adrian Fikes, author and soul power coach, and as you probably just heard, amateur sleuth and genealogist, and also Dr. Johnny Parker, author and relationship coach. Johnny, Adrian just had this, you know, this moment about what was. Let me talk to you about what is. You mentioned you have three sons. What kind of conversations do you have with your sons now or recently so that they don't become lost to the extended family? And if you are, how important is it for parents to talk to their children about the importance of family?
Oh, absolutely. And just to comment quickly on what Adrian just said, I think the other piece about our history that is so, so rich in a world where that's speedy and noisy and cluttered and distracted in so many ways. It's the sense, and we're always trying to fit in. And a family, and learning about your history and genealogy, it's a sense of where I belong. I'm connected. This is what connects me. And so just that whole sense of belonging, which in healthy families helps us to feel safe and growth can happen. So as a dad, with my sons, what I have sought to do was to help us with our culture. I do a lot of corporate work around culture, culture being a set of norms, the way things are done around here. So what's the culture that I want to build with my family? How do I be deliberate about that story? So one of the things that we've done over the years has been this. We've looked at our last name, Parkers, P-A-R-K-E-R-S. We said the P is an acronym, and the P stands for pleasing God, that we want to be a family that pleases God in all we do. The A, accepting one another. The R, respecting one another. The K, keeping short accounts, not if we have conflict, but when we have conflict. How are we going to resolve it? How do we do that in a way that's honoring one another? The E is encouraging one another, building each other up, not beating each other up. And then the R, renewal, the idea that we cannot sustain our impact in my marriage or sustain our impact in terms of the family story if we fail to sustain ourselves. So the R is all about renewal and family vacations. My wife and I have a date. We're very deliberate about that. Then the S is for service. We raise our sons that you leave others better off than how you found them. So we've done all kinds of things in our community. We've traveled together. They've been a part of the work that that I do. And so that has been very, very deliberate about that. And what we would do is at mealtime, especially when they were younger, and we still carry on with this today, but at mealtimes, I would say, I'll give anyone here $5 who can give the Parker Core values. And then got, you know, the P stands for pudding. No, not pudding, son.
Right.
Pleasing God. You know, they're just trying to get some money, and they, you know, liking God or close enough, you know, Jesus, you know, whatever. So, but we would just have fun with that in terms of the core values. And being a Parker means this, that as a Parker man, that it means this. And so I would help to define that. And so now what we do, now that the older two are out, moved on in terms of not living at home, every Sunday, we have what we call the page turners. What is a page turner? It's people who do the common thing in an uncommon way, experience an uncommon positive results. It's what I write about in Turn the Page. So now the things that I coach others around, and people in faith-based, people in sports, people in corporate, I'm doing that practically with my son. So my two nephews My three sons, we gather every Sunday from 3 to 4, and we talk about what were the wins for the week. What were the wins? What are you working on? What's the goal? What's your vision board? We've had those kind of conversations. We've also had the conversations around how do you deal with the police? Again, being a New Yorker, you all heard a relative of mine who was in the news over 10 years ago. Sean Bell was my cousin.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I got the call early in that morning when Sean was shot on the wedding day. He was supposed to marry Nicole. So they know that story. I tell a little bit about his story in the book. But so we've had those conversations. And so being very deliberate about training them and teaching them and modeling. And the way that I do that is more of a coach. The days of me commanding are over because they're young men. Now it's, son, I'm not you, but if I were you, I would consider this. Have you considered this? What do you think about this? It's your life. It's your story. I'm only an editor now. I love you. I'm your dad. I'm only an editor in your story as you allow me to be. But it's more of a coaching relationship that we have. And the important thing that's always fun with the guys was funny is when they know food is coming next.
Of course.
Yeah. Something about the food and the guys that brings the conversation together as well. And so those are the ways that I've sought to continue connecting and building that relationship with my boys.
One of the things that we kind of started this conversation with was the hustle and bustle of the day. On one hand, you have people that are so very, very busy that we have something in this business called, you know, the 24-hour news cycle. But I would imagine that the 24-hour life cycle keeps people so busy that it's hard enough to connect with significant others, which goes back to what you were just talking about, Johnny, about having date nights, because you live together and you still don't see each other enough. And so you got to kind of focus on that. But how do you, within that 24-hour life cycle, focus, Adrian, on the family members that you don't have problems with, that you love dearly, that don't live that far away, but you never can say that? This is why I asked. My sister and I love my sister. We're 4 years apart. If you think I'm interesting, you should meet my sister. She's beautiful, she's colorful, and she lives 1.5 miles from my house, and I never see her.
Oh, wow.
I never see her unless there is an issue in the family. My mother had surgery. I saw my sister during that 2-week period because we all came together with mom and we're like peanut butter and jelly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just tight. Wheat bread, gluten-free, the whole nine, you know.
Right.
And yet, if everything is fine, I don't see her because she's got family and she's a professional and it's really, really hard. So how do you commit to connecting with those perfect family members that you're not connecting with?
Right. Wow. That's a great question. It starts with your priorities. You know, one of the things I teach my clients to do, I've got a 30-second challenge, and there are 12 life areas. And the challenge is, you know, deciding within the next 6 months the most important things you want to do or experience, and then taking 30 seconds or less to put those priorities in order, because that forces you to think about your purpose and your priorities. It forces you to think about not just overall what's important to me, but what's important to me in the next 6 months. And so we may not be able to get together every day, but can we set the intention that we're going to see each other twice a year? You know, can we set an intention that you are important enough to me that I'm going to find some time during the holiday, or, you know, Labor Day weekend is a good time, or Memorial Day weekend is a good time to just come and exist around each other. You know, if I'm having a barbecue, I'm going to make sure I invite you to come over with your friends. And because you're my family, you know, I got a big barbecue that I always go to, but I'm going to take time. I'm going to set the intention to come spend time with you. So if you set those intentions And what I found from my own experience, and it's what I teach my clients, when you set your priorities and you start making purposeful decisions about what's important to you, that, you know, you hear the cliche of moving the big rocks. Family becomes that big rock, which means you are creating the time to spend with this person. You are creating the time to build that relationship. You know, my sister is, I wish she was a mile from me. She lives in Atlanta. You know, we see each other very rarely, but we talk to each other on the phone. We, you know, people are often down on social media, but my family spread all over. I'm on Facebook constantly, touching base with my family. I'm texting constantly with my family. You know, we're on FaceTime, we're on Zoom. We are using the technology to stay close to each other. We are using the technology in a way that's bringing us closer. You know, we've got Instagram DMs that we're sending to each other. You know, I mean, and you know, we're tagging each other.
Gifts,
like, the whole nine. You know, my daughter, you know, she's off in school. Well, she's graduated now. She's, you know, she's off in the world doing her thing, but we make the time to connect every single day. And we've given the flexibility that it's not, you must call me at 10 o'clock every day. You know, it's okay. We're going to generally talk to each other around this time, but if you've got something going on, we can be flexible. But I promise you, I don't know everything that's going on in my daughter's life, but I wouldn't even say that, but we're very close. And there's almost not a day that goes by that we're not communicating either through text or Instagram or phone conversation or face, you know. And so when we do see each other, it's not, wow, you know, I love getting the hugs, but we are using the technology to make time for each other. And I think that is one way that you can begin breaking those bonds, because you, for good or for bad, you get to know people on social media. You get to see who they are and what they care about and what they're talking about. And we often see that as a way to connect with strangers, but you can also use that as a way to connect with family and friends.
Yeah, our family has a whole family group chat room just around that whole furry thing, connect.
I only have a very few minutes left, but I wanted to end with this question. And Adrian, I'll let you start and I'll let Johnny have the last word. What is the best thing about family?
It's always and forever. It is never ending. It is our connection to this earth.
Interesting. Adrian, you got a little more time. You know, throw your wife in there because she's listening. The best thing about family, immediate, extended.
It's the stories. It's the experiences that happen. It's the putting on Marvin Gaye, you got to give it up, and everyone's on the dance floor doing the dance. And it's the stories and experiences of when you're together, and regardless of what brought us together, it may be a funeral, it may be a wedding, it may be the cookout or reunion, but it's the stories, it's the sharing, it's the sense of this is where I belong, this is where my story began, this is my identity, this is where it's safe. Hopefully people are feeling that in their families. And so I think it's all of that. It's just something different for me. When I go back to New York, I still call it home. I live here, but I still call New York home because that's where my story began. That's where I have my roots. That's what shaped me, good, bad, and ugly. And those are the stories. Those are the things when I think of family, is that sense of connected stories from great grandpa to the slave in the family or slaves in the family. It's that. It's the music. It's the food. It's the stories.
When you go to New York, do you drive or do you take the train?
I drive, man.
You should take the train.
I got to get around.
Choo-choo locomotive.
There you go. Oh, he set me up. I didn't see that coming. Oh, man.
You're never going to let it down. I will say in closing, I think the best thing about family, at least in my case, is that everybody has great things that happen, and there'll be a phone call, there'll be a text when things are great. But when things are bad, my family's always there, and we're always there for each other. And we can be really, really busy, but we will drop everything else when someone gets sick, whenever somebody needs something. And I think you can't pay for that. Yeah. So I want to thank both of you, Adrian Fikes and Dr. Johnny Parker, for talking to us. Real quick, a website for both of you. Adrian, where people can find you?
Soulpowercoach.com.
And Dr. Parker?
JohnnyParker.com.
All right. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, channel 141 for this Monday, May 28th, Memorial Day. I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night and enjoy the rest of this Memorial Day.